welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good, Mike.
You chose a poem this week on one of my favorite topics, which is CBT. I love CBT for a whole host of things. We're going to talk in this poem specifically about insomnia and even more specifically about telephone. But just that by way of background, CBT for insomnia is a psychotherapy. It attempts to identify and target multiple cognitive and behavioral factors. CBT has become the mainstay of non-pharmacologic therapy for insomnia. To be honest, I prefer it to medications as first-line therapy for chronic insomnia. It has two sort of frameworks. One is to work on predisposing, precipitating, perpetuating factors that include perhaps genetic risk, early life experiences, perhaps chronic comorbidities. Precipitating and perpetuating factors are life events that lead to sleep disruption. We can all relate to these things like injuries, illnesses, certainly stress from job and relationships and those kinds of things. And then the second group are conditioned arousal and sleep-related hyperarousal activities. This is the development of sort of classically conditioned responses to our sleep environment, our bedroom, what we might call our sleep hygiene. There are lots of ways that we can approach sleep. We won't go through them right now, other than to mention that there's sleep education, there's restrictive therapy, there's sleep compression, there's stimulus control therapy, and as we all probably practice all the time, sleep hygiene. The actual CBT involves identifying and addressing maladaptive thoughts that lead to negative emotions and arousal either near bedtime or delay or prevent sleep at the time of sleep. But if CBT does work, the question is, can we do this over the phone to people who have chronic problems? A randomized controlled trial that you found was published in JAMA Internal Medicine, published this year, 2021. It starts on page 530. It attempts to answer the clinical question, can cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia patients with chronic pain be effectively delivered via telephone? So a lot of provisos there, but Mark, can we do this intervention over the phone, and does it work?
Looks pretty good. You know, they found 327 participants with moderate to severe osteoarthritis and clinically diagnosed insomnia. They recruited the patients using advertisements, and then they screened them by telephone. In other words, the patients hadn't sought care, but they did screen positive for insomnia. The average score on an insomnia severity index was about 15 and a half out of a possible 28. Three quarters were women, 96% were white, and about half were college graduates. So it's not necessarily as generalizable a cross-section of the U.S. population as we'd like. Patients were randomized. They didn't tell us about allocation concealment, but they were randomized to get telephone-based CBT that focused on in-bed restriction, cognitive strategies to reduce hyperarousal, and setting realistic sleep expectations, or to an education-only control intervention. The participants were contacted six times by telephone over an eight-week period. 2 months after the end of the treatment period, the insomnia scores had decreased by 8 points in the CBT group and just under 5 points in the education-only group. That's a 3.3-point greater improvement, and it probably is clinically significant on a 28-point scale. When you look at it a different way, 81% of the CBT group had at least a 30% improvement, so responder assessment, compared with 49% in the education group. So the NNT there is 3. They looked 12 months later, and the differences in scores were maintained that far out, which is really good. And that's really one of the strengths of CBT, is that in other studies for other conditions, the effects tend to persist if it's done well. Feelings of fatigue also improved more in the CBT group. So bottom line, in folks with clinical insomnia and chronic osteoarthritis pain, CBT for insomnia can be delivered via telephone, and the effect of fairly modest intervention, 6 calls over 8 weeks, persisted for at least a year. So good stuff.
Impressive study, Mark. I think they did a good job. The fact that there's this long lag in terms of efficacy makes this encouraging. I guess the question that we need to figure out is how those of us who practice in primary care can operationalize this. I certainly don't have the skills to do this. I'm not sure I have the time in my practice to make 6 phone calls over 8 weeks to do this. I'd want to know how much time and who are these people that do this. I have a really hard time in my world finding even a therapist that is skilled at CBT.
Yeah, I think, certainly with the pandemic, we are seeing lots of services that are being advertised either via text message or by phone or by, telemedicine to do therapy. And, so that's something that's emerging. And it's good to have some evidence that it can be as effective, apparently, as in-person CBT. But yeah, these were done by therapists. And, it's also a good argument for a group of family physicians or general internists to consider, is there a way we can team up with a therapist who does CBT? It's so useful for so many different conditions that we deal with every day.
Thanks, Mark. We will talk with you in a week.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem. Thank you.